There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Four Center podcast feed. I'm Ken Napsa.
I'm Joseph Scrimshaw, and this is one of our News and Cues episodes. The Cues stands for question, and the word news stands for the word news.
And today we're going to even have kind of breaking news for us here on a recording schedule. It's not in our notes, which is nice to occasionally be ahead of things. Before we get to all of that, we want to remind you that today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/4center. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. And as always, a little bit later, we have our 4center recommends an audiobook we think you should try out on us. But the deals don't stop there, Joseph.
No, they continue with the exciting offer of Insight Editions. They are the publisher of a ton of great Star Wars books. Insight Editions is offering 35% off across their website. With a special 4Center code, you can get your discount by entering the code FC35, or you can visit the website with this link, insighteditions.com/discount/FC35. This week, we're recommending the Insight Editions book, Star Wars Galactic Baking.
Oh, yes. And I have it in my hands, Joseph.
Oh, that's right. I have it in a box that I should open. I forgot that's what that was.
I just opened it up to the Resistance Ration Bars. Ooh. Do you like the granola bars that Poe probably ate? The one.
When I think about it that way, when I think about, Claude probably ate those. yeah. then I'm going to get bacon.
Bacon, bacon, bacon. TIE Fighter ice cream sandwiches. Oh, boy. Anyways, I'm going to get hungry. Anyways.
Yeah, there's a ton of great stuff in there. So, yeah, like we said in the offer, you can go check it out with the FC35 code. And this book is coming out. We got some advanced copies coming out on May the 4th, which, of course, is Star Wars Day and coming up really pretty soon in the grand scheme of things.
It is. Oh, my gosh. And the way time moves. We'll be right here celebrating soon. and I think we got to firm up the details, but stay tuned for a little thing we may be doing with the local library on May the 4th.
Excellent.
Star Wars, isn't that? So books, books, books all around. Thank you for that wonderful ad read. Joseph, we are going to catch up on Star Wars or Life Adventures. That's always a dicey, dicey thing to discuss. how's things going for you, my friend?
Yes, there were some ups and downs this week, but I'm going to focus on the ups to have some fun. Yeah, just a real busy week. Lots of things going on. Didn't really have time for many Star Wars adventures, and I was thinking I didn't have any Star Wars adventures. And then I did remember kind of a small one, a quest that I was offered to go on in a certain way by a tweet. Friend of the show, fellow Star Wars podcaster Alden Diaz had a nice tweet about some 3¾-inch Star Wars action figures that he bought. And because I simply will not stop talking about them, he had a nice tweet about thinking of me when he got that. And I wanted to respond to him in a friendly way. Because he made a joke kind of about like there was some force spirit of me in the aisle when he picked up 3¾ action figures. So I had that memory of like, I know somewhere in my 30,000 photos of the last almost decade of my life that I keep on my phone in a completely unwise way, I know I have a photo of me in a toy aisle right before I left Minneapolis. In fact, I think it might have been the day I left Minneapolis. It was like a ritual last visit of the Minneapolis Target that my wife and I went to.
Oh, yeah.
And it was just a nice picture of me holding an action figure that I liked and kind of looking off into the distance, like it was on a movie poster. So I was like, oh, I'll find that and I'll respond to Alden with that. And that was really nice. But it reminded me that I don't have that action figure and I want it. So now I have to go track down the 3¾ figure I was posing with, or rather figures, because it's the Mission series, which I have the Yoda and the Sidious of. But it's a slightly earlier version of the Mission series, and it's Obi-Wan and Maul. Mm. And Maul with Clone Wars legs. So I got to track that one down.
Yeah, you need those Clone Wars legs. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, I need Maul with all of his different legs. All the Maul legs need to be here in my home with me. So that was my big Star Wars adventure. Not a ton of life adventures that are super fun or exciting to talk about, but it sounds like you had some great life adventures this week.
Yeah, I absolutely did. A friend of the show, actually a previous guest on the show, and will be a guest again, musician, singer-songwriter Van William, he and his partner Sylvia had lost their dog Sunday, was that March 14th? Just a freak thing. A dog bolted out of a house they were at. And a house the dog was very familiar with. But long story short, it bolted out into an area of Los Angeles above Eagle Rock that has a lot of wilderness and a lot of coyotes and raccoons and animals and places to hide and houses that you can't get to because the gates are up, all those kind of things. And it was kind of sad. I'm such an animal lover. It breaks my heart. And, no sign of it, no sign of the dog. And by Wednesday, they started getting reports there might have been a dog sighting, and and they start working with a dog whisperer, which is like a Jedi. I'm just convinced they are a Jedi. And they changed, they got some great advice on changing the posters. Like, people put too much information up, just put a picture of the dog with the word lost and a phone number. We'll take care of the rest. not these 7 photos and last seen and height and weight and, like carrots, like none of that.
Essay, yeah, yeah.
To save time and story. By Wednesday night, I was driving out with about 10 other of friends. Some people I haven't even met, and we were all just in the area, doing the stakeout in the cars. And it was so crazy. I have a lower car now. I have an older Mustang and the windows down, and a coyote comes up to my car like, "Hey, is that a Mustang?" Ah, cool. And we're thinking in the back of our head, there's no way this dog could survive. It's a little tiny 10-15 pound at the most dog, right? And I'll tell you what, flash forward, I'm there Friday night. I'm there Saturday morning, and all these people are there. We're just scouting. And then we started getting reports Friday night. 4 calls in 2 minutes.
Wow.
Friday night. So a text goes out. There was a big group text, and anyone with a car, let's go. Well, I'm about 45 minutes away, thanks to LA traffic and travel. I get in my car and I head. I tell Grace, I got to go. And we all go out there. We couldn't find it. It was so heartbreaking. And people were out till 2-3 in the morning, just waiting. Vance partner Sylvia, 24 hours a day, you know. And we started to give up hope. And Saturday, I'm there. I'm talking with Van. I'm like, we're there about noon. And then I got like, I gotta go record some shows. I gotta go. I'll be back. Just let me know. I drive away. 10 minutes later, the dog is seen running down the street. And they lose it again. They can't find it.
No.
And the dog whisperer had said, you know, take your shoes off, turn your socks inside out. And the Sylvia, the primary owner of the dog, you know, that's owned her the dog for most of her life, walk from the last seen spot, last reported sighting, walk back to the house with on the street in your socks inside out. You know, and you just hear, you know, mystic music plays as the dog whisperer disappears into the no one.
Yes.
By the way, no one met him. They don't know what Mike the dog whisperer looks like. They just a friend connected him and he just was sending texts and phone calls.
So it's just like a voice. So it's just like, you know, reach out with your feelings and your feet and the yes. dog will sense you.
And everything he predicted, and we started to get a closer perimeter around where the dog might be, but you can't. And I'm trying to get Mark Riley to charge up his drone and fly out with the drone, and I finally have to go. And so anyways, what ends up happening 6 days later, probably because of the scent thing, the dog just walks back into the house, and Van turns the corner, dejected and defeated, and they asked a gardener. They go, have you seen this dog? And the gardener just goes, what do you yeah, it's right there. They all turn around and the dog's on the patio. Aww. And you know, you don't rush to it. You give it a couple minutes to recalibrate and the tail starts wagging uninjured, hungry, thirsty, needed its medication, uninjured, 6 days in the wilderness of Los Angeles. And it just put me in a good mood, reaffirmed. And not every missing dog story has a happy ending. I get it. And but like, man, it just faith, hope, big Star Wars themes. Are always found in life. And it was a great story, a great reunion. So many happy videos are on Van and Sylvia's Instagram pages. Just the dog drinking the biggest sip of water you've ever seen a dog take in its life in your life. Just a happy reunion. And, you know, it's Star Wars in real life. You know, rebellions and finding dogs are built on hope.
Yeah, I mean, that is like this small real life version of, you know, Mando and Grogu, right? Of this yeah. wonderful little being that's in your life that you want to protect and mm-hmm. help and nurture. And that's so great that yeah. you were one of the many Mandos and Lukes. trying to help out poor Grogu and Ahsoka's and many different characters.
It was great. It was great. So Aita, you're home. Stay home. Close the
door. Stay home. Yeah, that's so. It is so weird that, you know, sometimes there's that perception of the whole Los Angeles metro area of just like there's no nature. It's just urban everywhere. It's just strip malls and then the occasional palm tree and like. You know, we can walk into Griffith, about 15 minutes, Griffith Park, you know, go up to where the Batcave is from the 1960 television show and got to be real careful because those, you know, Family of Coyotes looked at me once like, is it worth it? Like, I could see the thought bubbles. They're like, he looks pretty scrawny. Is it worth it? Is it worth it? You know, nature, it makes me think of Star Wars too, of just the, you know, the nature and the power of nature is all around us always, even when we don't feel it. Right.
It is. And the lessons of patience too. And the dog whisperer kept saying patience, marathon, not a sprint. Think it's a wild animal. And I can't, you know, we always go to Qui-Gon, which is interesting because it's moments before Qui-Gon's death example I use. But it's just such, you know, and that was a Star Wars lesson too. And yeah, you're so right. Nature, patience, hope, all there.
Great real life and Star Wars adventure all rolled into one big happy dog story. That's great, Ken.
Happy dog story indeed. So speaking of happy news, let's dive into some Star Wars news. And we got some good stuff going on. This one is the late breaking news. And shout out to our Patreon supporters in our Discord who are often different time zones, different parts of the world. So sometimes they see the news posted in the Discord server when you and I are still asleep, Joseph. So this one this morning, Star Wars Del Rey tweeted out that this year's Star Wars Visions will bring all new creative takes on Star Wars from the world's best anime creators. Coming October 12th, an original novel inspired by one of those animated tales. A Star Wars book quite unlike any before it, called Ronin by Emma Miko Kenden. They do a follow-up tweet that says, just to be clear, this is not a novelization. This is an original novel. And to tell it, we're so thrilled to have a vibrant new voice and Emma joining the Star Wars author family. We can't wait to share more of Emma Miko Kenden's story with you soon. So that's coming October 12th. And one hand, that's cool. I'd say maybe minor news, but Joseph, you've pointed out that that's some major confirmation in this announcement here.
Yeah, so if this book is coming October 12th and it's inspired by one of the animated tales, that tells me we know that Star Wars Visions was going to come out sometime in 2021. I forget if we have an actual date, but that means, you know, relatively soon. And most importantly to me, my biggest question about Visions has been, is it anime creators interpreting existing Star Wars stories, or is it new stories? And this makes me feel like it's new stories, which I'm honestly a little bit more excited for.
I'm really excited about Star Wars Visions, but it was a different kind of excitement than the other projects, right? It was like, oh, okay, that's interpretations and it's not part of the big picture and everything. And who knows, maybe I don't know where the canon nature of these projects are, but hearing this and seeing original story and that term Ronin, I think a lot of people just familiar with, you know, that kind of story, that kind of a character, if you will, or they're just familiar with the De Niro movie with Natasha McElhone yelling "There's no handler," which has one of the best car chases ever in that movie. Check it out. I don't want to say I'm more invested, because that's not fair to the creators of Star Wars Visions of the things that are already being made. But you know what I mean, Joseph? Just I'm like, okay, now you more stories to tell from different perspectives, all those kind of things. I'm excited about this.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just, it's a big deal. It's a big difference. You know, I absolutely love the Galaxy Adventures video series that Titmouse Animation did. That is these great different visual takes on classic characters and classic moments. And those do such an amazing job of, let's distill the heart of who Obi-Wan Kenobi is through his journeys, and let's condense it down to, you know, a minute, 2 minutes, but we'll do it with this really exciting, different visual style. That's a great thing. But in a way, we already have that. So a part of me really wants to feel like we have Star Wars Visions, something that's saying, hey, Star Wars has borrowed a lot from this culture of storytelling. Why don't you actually come in and tell some stories, know, that I'm more excited to have it be not just visually, how would you reinterpret existing narratives and characters, but what entirely new ideas, planets, you know, moments would you bring to Star Wars? That's a little bit of a bigger deal.
You're really tapping into, I think, what I'm excited about now, where again, wasn't not excited before, but it's like, oh, okay, yeah. It's like, I love the Galaxy Adventures, but it's like, that's ninth on my things I watch on Star Wars on the Death Star. But if it was original and completely new, I think my enjoyment of those would go up even more, and there's already enjoyment. So yeah, anyways, long story short, this is interesting, exciting, and cool confirmation of that new story coming to Star Wars.
Yeah, absolutely. I am thrilled by it. And also just really cool to continue to see how different parts of the Star Wars storytelling armada, to use a random noun, can speak to one another. This is a cool announcement that there's one of those stories is for Disney Plus is so inspiring that, hey, we're going to do a book on it. That's really cool.
Mm. That's great. I love that. So that was late breaking news. We love getting that under the wire here on our Force Center program. But the news that we knew was coming, that we knew we were going to discuss here, is let's start with this one here, Joseph. Get ready to caravan with some courage. This broke last week, and much conversation, I'd say, around it. Disney Plus, you've heard of that streaming service, will be adding the Ewok movies. Oh, boy. Caravan of Courage, Battle of Endor. The Ewoks cartoons, all two seasons, and all 25 segments of the original Clone Wars series with the the animation and the Tartakovsky stuff going on there. And then the big one, perhaps, the animation short from the holiday special called The Story of the Faithful Wookiee. We all know this for inspiring Jon Favreau to make The Mandalorian, allegedly. So there you go. That is and there could be more. Droids is not on there. And a lot of people saying, well, could they be holding that back for a May 4th special announcement? Droids, the animated series, is in our lap. So
it's got a bunch of Beatles music they have to clear, right? That's the hold up on Droids.
Is that what it is? Didn't look that far into it. That's the one. First thing I just say, you know, no does not mean any of this is necessarily canon, though. Let's be honest, Caravan of Courage, Battle of Endor, we know it's canon in our hearts at this point. So what do we think about the vaults being opened here, Joseph?
I think this is great. I think I'm really excited to have access to a ton of this stuff. I was thinking about that canon thing, and I know that can be a distraction for some, some fans. And I was looking at the way all the Marvel content is labeled, you know, and it's not like they have big disclaimers about what is part of the MCU or not kind of thing. It's not like they have stamps of like, yeah. But they do have it listed separately. They have it like the primary thing when you go to the Marvel tab is like, here's phase one of the MCU. And then like, here's other Marvel movies, you know? And I wonder, I was actually inspired by the write-up of this on Star Wars Newsnet. We get a lot of our articles from Star Wars Newsnet, always have good things to say about them. Just the article talked about how this retro Star Wars content is coming. And that struck me as interesting. If that would be fun to have this as a tab of like, it's retro, is in, or Legends, you know?
Yeah.
I think that would be cool because I think there are people who are long-term Star Wars fans who do get a little confused about what is and isn't canon. And I think it'd be great to have those distractions put away. So I kind of hope they make a little category for this stuff because I think it should absolutely be available. But I think, you know, should help people with not get distracted by the canon.
Yeah.
Versus retro versus Legends.
Retro, Legends, original, prequel. Yeah, I'm right there with you on that because I think they needed to come out a little... come out swinging a little bit in 2014 of new canon and new era. And I think you and I are behind that idea of the new canon might have been needed, or at least was an interesting idea that we think has gone pretty well. Others might disagree. We understand that. But I think now, especially 5-6 years into this, to saying kind of, look, all are welcome. The stories that moved you 10, 15, 20 years ago, the stories that entertained you are still valid. They're still here, and they might not be part of this story, so to speak, but don't get held up on that. Enjoy what's here. Go down the memories. I love what you say, retro, old school, whatever you want to say it, Legends works as well. I'm excited by that. I do own the Clone Wars micro series on digital video disc, volumes 1 and 2. But I haven't watched them for a long time. And I am of that ilk that sometimes rents a movie from Amazon Prime because I don't want to go over to my bookshelf to find it. So this will help me watch them again. And then you and
bless you for supporting this struggling startup, Amazon.
Yes. Yes. They need my $1.99. And then you and I, this is funny because you sort of tracked down actual copies of these Ewok movies that we paid, you know, top dollar prices for. And we just had to wait a couple months.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was, I can't remember. I think there had been an article or some discussion about perhaps Disney won't ever add these Ewok movies. And I realized like they're on disc and, you know, they might get to be real collector items. So it's like, oh, I'm going to look at how much these are. I'm like, oh, they're a little spendy, but I'd like to get them. And it's like, no, wait, I should, talk to Ken. We'll get them for myself, Ken. Hey, we got to get them for Jennifer. Yeah. And then we're going to do a big episode on it. And then it was like this summer and we're like way too busy keeping up with all of the books and all of the life. And they're sitting like in my living room staring at me daily, which is funny. But this will be good because I think this will be even more motivation when these land. I think there's going to be a hunger to discuss them.
And yes.
Honestly, the thing that I'm most excited to rewatch is those Ewok movies. I watched them when they were broadcast. I kind of enjoyed them, but they were one of the things for that era of fan that I think sometimes fueled Ewok resentment.
Oh yeah.
Of Star Wars is gone, but the only thing that seems to be continuing is the Ewoks. And I'm so excited to rewatch them with fresh eyes, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I remember watching Caravan of Courage with great anticipation. Oh, good. We're going back to Endor. I can't wait for Han and Leia. And, you know, I'm, what, by this point, 9, 10? And, yeah, that was an experience.
Yeah, but now it's going to be so different. You know, I think I've seen some, you know, there's been some clips in behind the scenes on Mando about like, hey, remember how the blurgs came from here and seeing that,
yes.
You know, weird stop action blurg. And
yeah.
I know that my attitude about the Ewoks has turned around since the mid-80s. Yeah. Much more excited for the Ewoks. So that sort of distraction is gone of just, you know, I'm not a very young person upset because there aren't lightsabers and instead there are teddy bears.
Yeah.
I have left those frustrations in the past, so I'm really, really excited to rewatch these.
Yeah, and then my reaction won't be, why is the old guy from the TV show Our House there in these movies?
Yes.
And we know Nathan Hamill's probably happy about Teek getting
There's going to be a Teek renaissance.
A Teekissance is coming. The cartoon, well, that's a different experience, and be fun to maybe revisit that. The story of Faithful Wookiee, I definitely beg some discussion because it's generally well remembered in Star Wars legends, just legends among fans of, oh, I remember that anime Boba Fett and all that.
But the Boba Fett thing was cool, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And of course, George being famously non-supportive of the holiday special, but this has been cited a few times. So this is, I love that this is coming. We can see the pulse rifle and all the things again. Whether or not this means George will suddenly issue a statement that says, yeah, whatever, air the whole holiday special. I don't think so. But you have to wonder. So what do you think about this one? You excited to watch the story of the Faithful Wookiee?
Yeah, no, I think it makes a ton of sense because at this point it is, you know, it's not just its own thing. It's DNA of the Mandalorian, right? It's, you know, some of the first animated Star Wars, which makes it a pretty big deal now that Star Wars animation is such a huge part of what Star Wars is. So I'm really excited. I always enjoy watching that. I hope this is just kind of the holiday special getting its foot in the door, though. I would like the whole holiday special to be available.
Absolutely.
I apologize to Mr. Lucas, but yeah. I want to watch the whole thing on streaming.
Well, look, you know, I have a copy on my friend Billy Patterson got me, like, but I want it for real, George. Just let's have it for real.
Yeah, it's okay. It's okay. Yeah. I'm also super, super excited to rewatch those Clone Wars. I have watched them in the last several years, and I'm really excited to do, obviously we'll discuss, you know, a lot of this stuff on Force Center, but since you and I are doing the big Clone Wars rewatch of, you know, the Lucas series, I'm really excited to revisit this original series. I loved it so much when it first came out, but then when I rewatched it like 2 or 3 years ago, I had a little bit of an uncanny valley feeling where it was like, I kind of love this, but it is not the Clone Wars I have come to know. It was, you know, it's, you know, like that 80s cliche of like the cousins came to visit and they're not the main characters, but also they kind of just are the main characters again. I had that weird reaction to it. And I'm really, it would be really great to watch that series the same way you and I have been watching the Clone Wars,
yeah,
with that kind of depth of like, what are the ideas? You know, how does it balance what has come before of Star Wars and see how I feel then?
Yeah, I can't wait. A lot of stuff with Ventress and Grievous and Mace, Kit Fisto and
Dirge.
Dirge, Anakin the Trials, a lot of great stuff there. So I can't wait to revisit. I'm excited about this as well. And because they're a little bite-sized, it's a quick afternoon, too, if you just want to watch those. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, that's it for now in the dump of great content coming our way. I'm waiting for the day where they just release the Muppet Babies Star Wars episodes here on Disney Plus in this category.
It's coming soon.
It's coming soon. All right. Next story up here. We've got Toy Alert. New Black Series 6-inch figures are going to go deep into Lucasfilm's past. We got 4 figures to talk about here. Of course, we know we're in the 50th year of Lucasfilm, the actual formation of the company. That's insane to think about, but here we go. These are all inspired from comics. First is from the 1991 adaptation of Heir to the Empire. It's Luke Skywalker and a Yasul Samiri, the Timothy Zahn doesn't want to write anything we can pronounce character. He's, of course, Thrawn's little pets that could hold off the Force.
The Salami Rat.
The Salami Rat, indeed. Then we got Darth Maul from the 2000 series, Star Wars Darth Maul. Keir Kanos from the 1997 Star Wars Crimson Empire. Also was interesting. Hasbro mislabeled the box as another character, Connor Jax, which caused StarWars.com to write the wrong character description up. They've all since corrected it. And then finally, perhaps not least, Jackson from the original Marvel run and also IDW Star Wars Adventure series. This is Kevin Scott's dream, something he's been pushing for and writing about and sneaking him in and finally just getting him in from the to this from a certain point of view story covering the Empire stuff. So here we go. This is pretty fun stuff in terms of figures. Thoughts on this idea overall, Joseph, and then thoughts on these figures.
Yeah, I love the celebration of Lucasfilm as a company. You know, we've talked about that a little bit. I really like that they're doing that. A lot of it is obviously Star Wars, but I like that it is other things as well. I really do appreciate that they are celebrating legends. I know you and I sometimes are not the hugest fans of legends, or there's problems that we have, you know, parts of it that, you know, don't feel like our Star Wars to us. But I really love that they are celebrating. That is a huge part of this history, and these stories and characters mean a ton to Star Wars fans, and the Legends canon distinction only matters so much. These are exactly as you were saying before, these are stories that people love, and you know, a lot of the figures from, you know, these figures are from eras where if you wanted to continue to enjoy being in this galaxy far, far away, this is where it's coming from, you know?
Yeah.
So I think it's great that they are specifically Legends figures.
Yeah, no, exactly. Again, it's similar to talking about the Disney Plus adding those shows. It's just like, all right, cool. We've got this new era, new canon. You might not like it. You might love it. But we got 50 years to go back on. So, I do like this idea, and I think the choice of figures are interesting, intriguing, and run the gamut of characters there. So thoughts on these specific figures. I especially want to get your take on the Luke Skywalker one. You're such a Luke fan. You can add this buff, shirtless Luke to your collection.
I think it's a great Luke figure, and I'm often not as big of a fan of the articulated figures where there's flesh. And it's like, remember when Luke had big knobs in his elbows? but this one actually, and I know they always look better when they're posed, but this one looks great. I have to say for myself, the Yasamalira, the force, no force bubble, salami rats, personally, I don't, and I never have. I remember being in my bedroom, it's freezing cold in Minneapolis, cuddled up by the heater, reading that book, going, nah. I was enjoying the book, but, you know, I do love the vision of the Force of it is a spiritual, fantastic thing. It's not a science fiction-y thing where, like, here's the switch where the Force goes off, you know?
Yeah.
So that's never been for me, but I'm very happy to see it in figure form. Personally, Jackson is the one that I want. Jackson, if you had asked me, if they had announced they were going to do this and asked me which figure I wanted, I would have said Jackson. You know, I love what he symbolizes, you know, starting in that original Marvel run. I didn't have a ton of those Marvel comics back then. Yeah, I think like my grandfather and my dad at a couple different points just went to the store and bought the like 7 or 8 of the comics. You know, I've since tracked it down, like, oh, all those comics I remember were released on this specific Thursday. You know?
Yeah.
And that's just what my grandpa and my dad grabbed that day, wherever they were. And the Jackson issue of the original Star Wars run is one of those. So he's been burned in my memory since youth. And I kind of love that he symbolizes the kind of wild west of early Star Wars storytelling when the aesthetic wasn't as established.
Yeah.
He represents the silly side of Star Wars in that it's a part that's always been there. And then this kind of modern push to, you know, largely Kevin Scott led to really bring him into canon with little hints in the, then he was in Kevin Scott's IDW comics. And then in the, from a certain point of view, so I really like him. I really like what he represents. And I like that there is such a great contrast that he is such a symbol of the bizarreness and silliness of Star Wars. And now here he is in the like incredibly well-crafted, hyper-realistic, mm-hmm. super serious, very well done line of Black Series 6-inch, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I think I want this figure too. And then I want to go back in time to 2014 and show myself this figure and then watch 2014 Ken go, I'm out. I don't like this anymore. And then go, don't worry, it's going to be okay. There's a lot of Star Wars characters, and you and I were kind of discussing this off air of like, my own growth as a Star Wars fan, speaking for myself, of just things that might've been huge problems before. Even if I still don't enjoy them, I still can engage with them in a much different way. Ybor Gascon comes to mind all the time. AP5 singing in space, basically any weird Stephen Stanton character apparently. But Jackson was one that I remember when that first cover, it was a variant cover of Marvel number one when Star Wars relaunched in 2014. And it had Han, Luke, Leia, Chewie thing. They're all on one side of the door and Jackson's knocking on the other side saying, hey, I hear you guys, let me in, whatever. I remember just going, yeah, finally, we're getting rid of the chuff. Like, toss it. I'm so here for this. You know, again, Jack's never going to be my favorite character. No, but it's just a testament to this weird, crazy little space saga that we love, that this rabbit with blasters might be something that could sit on my shelf now.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that this, for what is it? It's four figures, right? For four figures.
Yeah.
One, two, three, four. They do a great job of a spread of styles of Star Wars storytelling. And, you know, another thing that I have been really enjoying experiencing by getting to hear from lots of different Star Wars fans and listeners is, you know, we all come to Star Wars at different times. And this is such a spread of time, too. And each one of these figures, I can imagine somebody being like, but that was my entry to Star Wars.
Yeah.
And I think that's why this line, even though some of the figures are like, yeah, not a big deal for me, but I want Jackson. I'm just really excited about it because it is really a reflection of celebrating everyone's entry point to Star Wars and that they're all different.
Totally. And all this begs the question, are there other characters that we would want for them to release part of this 50th anniversary of Lucasfilm? Because you got to know they're cooking up some more. What do you think, Joseph?
Oh, yeah. If there's any more from Legends, they made a 3 3/4 Black Series, but I wouldn't mind a 6-inch Darth Plagueis, especially since it's that figure that came with the staff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That caused the great Plagueis theorizing of 2014, 2015. You know, so a 6-inch Darth Plagueis with not Rey's staff, but his own staff, that would be pretty fascinating.
And to always be fair, the staffs did look strikingly similar. I'll admit that. But the heady days of 2014. Yeah.
Yes, the great staff days. Mm-hmm. So that would be a cool thing from Legends. You know, it would be great if they did. If they opened up the can of worms of doing like four figures from across, you know, modern canon publishing, and you got, you know, one character from the High Republic, you got Ray Sloan, you got one character from Alphabet Squadron, you know, that would be really interesting.
Ooh, that's good stuff. That's good stuff. Some thoughts, and I'm going to cheat here, and I'll allow you to bounce back with some cheats yourself there too. In terms of Star Wars in this kind of vein, Talon Card, I've always said I do enjoy Talon Card from the Heir of the Empire series. So maybe a Talon Card, would work for me. I did end up reading it. Mark Reilly is a big fan of him, and he just had him sitting on the Collider writer room table. So I read that kind of big what if series of, you know, what if after Empire Luke went bad and Leia went bad, and I didn't super, it was fun to read, not my idea of what I would want to have happen, of course, but a figure of like dark Sith Leia or Luke would be interesting to me just to have. But then I'm going to cheat, Joseph. I'm going to cheat. This is a celebration of Lucasfilm, right?
Mm-hmm.
I would like and whether or not I'm trying to think it could be even before Lucasfilm in terms of, I don't know, he probably formed the company to make the film. I want a Bob Duvall in THX 1138. Give me a Bob Duvall, a Robert Duvall. And then, I want an Indiana Jones, man.
Right.
I want an Indiana Jones. I'd love a Willow Ofgood. I'd love a Mad Mortigan, anything from Willow, Short Round. I would take a Marion Ravenwood, but there's so few quality Indiana Jones figures out there. There's some great stuff out there. Don't get me wrong, but they've tried and the figures never caught on. The re-release figures around the Crystal Skull did not catch on. A 6-inch Black Series Indiana Jones. Come on, I'd pay top dollar right now.
Yeah, you know what? I want a 50th anniversary Lucasfilm 3-pack Evolution of Harrison Ford, right? And you get him in his weird cowboy hat from American Graffiti.
Yeah. Wow.
And then you get, you know, whichever Han Solo you want. You know what? Screw it. It's you get it specifically, yeah. Han Solo as he looks in Courtship of Princess Leia. Yeah. And then you get Indiana Jones. And you know what? Screw it. Go old Indiana Jones. Just make everybody feel everything about this.
Yeah.
Go Kingdom of Crystal Skull. Kingdom of Crystal Skull, Indy, yeah. Courtship of Princess Leia, Han Solo, and then his character's name, who I can't remember, from American Graffiti.
Bob Falfa? Bob Falfa.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Something real not sexy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a great idea. That's the winner. Ding, ding, ding. The bell's closed on this session because that's a winner. Oh, gosh. Yes. Any others, though, that you would see fit to?
Yeah, I mean, I could be wrong. I apologize. I did not have time to Google. I know there's a 3¾ Black Series Mara Jade. I don't know if there is a 6-inch Mara Jade. I think
I'm trying to remember
if there hasn't been, you know, she's one of the characters that I always did like, from Heir to the Empire. One of the threads that I really liked. And I know so many people are such a fan of hers. And I think she's one of the real big characters from Legends who hasn't, you know, reemerged in modern canon.
Yeah.
So I think that would be great.
I think it would be a very popular character indeed. So I'm excited to see what else. I got to tell you, when they announced the 50th Lucasfilm thing and the logo, and we kind of covered some of it, like great. Like I love it. Obviously this is a company that's made my dreams, right? Fueled my childhood. So I'm all there for it. But I'm not going to get a Lucasfilm 50 t-shirt. Like what am I going to do? Like, and then this figure, even though I don't necessarily want any, all these figures here, other than maybe Jackson. Yeah. Now I'm all in. Like, let's do it. And you better get a 6-inch George Lucas at Sbarro. You better get him sitting down having a food court meal.
Oh, you know what? I would love a Lucas. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. There's one photo that I have saved that I just really love. That's Lucas at some Disney event standing next to a Darth Vader in a costume. And Darth Vader's just kind of looking at him like, could you not have dressed more formally, sir? I want a 2-pack of that.
Yeah, you know what the 2-pack I want with George said? I want George and Bob Iger signing that contract.
Oh, no. Painful. No, not because I have any issue with the, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah.
We've talked about it enough. I am happy with Disney Lucasfilm. But Lucas looks so tortured in that photo.
Sorry, George.
Sorry, George.
We love
you. I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it.
We love you. All right. Final story of the day. Star Wars is going to celebrate Pride Month with Marvel Comics covers. We've got, what do we count here? Four or five? Let me look. We got a great list of characters going to grace the cover of these comics in June. We got Santa Staros for Dr. Aphra, number 11. Ray Sloan for Darth Vader, 13. Yerrika Quill for Bounty Hunters, 13. And Jedi twins Tarek and Serret. This is a variant cover on High Republic 6. And Lando Calrissian for Star Wars 14. Great little thing here. Great list of characters. What do you think about all this here, Joseph?
Yeah, I think this is absolutely a great way to celebrate Pride in the galaxy far, far away. And I like the variant cover thing, and I like that they're doing something kind of different and fun with it. You know, as a longtime comic book collector who fell off partially because I was of that age where, like, you know, the market kind of exploded because of the popularity of superheroes in films, and then suddenly there was news stories about how valuable, you know, early comic books were. So then, you know, they convinced every sucker kid like me to buy every different, you know, color variation of a number one of a new Batman series, and just entirely flooded the market.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. It's one of the things of like, all right, okay. I my love of superheroes has met with a harsh lesson in capitalism. Got it. But it's such a tradition of comic books to do things like the variant covers, and the Star Wars ones are so fun that, you know, they have such like kind of artistic and fan merit as well as being a collectible thing. That I just love the concept of variant covers.
Yeah.
And it's cool to see them used in a meaningful way like this.
Yeah, you know, important way. And just the list of characters here. I mean, I've been railing on about the excellence of Rae Sloane. So for her to get a spotlight is great. Santa Staros. And just to think for this character of Santa, she's grown from making a splash as Santa Solo in that first issue. And remember the uproar? Because we just assumed one panel of a character saying, "I'm Han Solo's wife," was fact, the whole story. And then outrage exploded from all different angles.
What are the polygamy laws in Star Wars?
Yeah, yeah. It was my first big lesson, too, because Well, I've never been super, super an angry fan for sure, especially 2014 on Jedi Alliance, but it was one of my first lessons in just take a breath and wait until the story unfolds. Like, don't get in your car and start driving around. Han wasn't married. Was he cheating on her with Leia? Just let it go. But from that moment, from that point to where that character has grown now, and I think getting even more into the spotlight, especially with Aphra, a great character. So anyways, all these characters mean a lot. Of course, Lando, an all-timer. Erica Quill, you and I are finishing up the Alphabet Squadron series. A great character, intriguing character. So yeah, love all the stuff. Great way to celebrate these characters representing such a large portion of Star Wars fans for Star Wars Pride Month.
Yeah, yeah. I'm really excited. I love what you're saying about Santa. She got introduced, yes, as a canon hiccup for Han Solo, and now she is so her own character, which is really great. I'm very excited to see, you know, more art of characters from Alphabet Squadron. So that I'm really cool. Excited to just see Erica Quell. Excited to see them lean into Lando's sexuality because it's something they kind of have, you know, absolutely touched on. And, you know, there's been that discussion of, it was kind of implied but not leaned into in the Solo film. So I'm happy to see that represented. And then I think just for me, I'm extremely happy for this. I'm extremely happy for the amount of non-straight characters that are celebrated right now in the publishing. And I'm looking forward to the day where we see them be prominent on screen as well.
On screen, you got a lot of characters and obviously new characters that can come in at any time, but some characters here that I think Rae Sloane and Santa Staros top the list of just give us more in terms of storytelling. For a lot of different wonderful reasons. So
and I know there've been rumors and rumblings, and I think an Aphra movie or TV show seems likely in the relatively near future.
I would hope so. Yeah, absolutely. So check those out coming in June. I usually get my comics about a month or two after. I've got to get a little better. The lockdown pandemic situation kind of stopped me going into the shop there. So I order them from my shop, Earth 2 and Northridge. It takes, I'm a little behind. So I'll make a point in June to get out and get these a little bit earlier. That is a look at Star Wars news. We're going to take a quick break and go to your questions. But before we do that, we have our Force Center Recommends, an audiobook we think you should try out on us. Joseph, what do we have?
That's right. Speaking of Erica Quill, we are recommending Victory's Price by Alexander Freed, the final chapter in the Alphabet Squadron saga. You can download your free audiobook today. Go to audibletrial.com/ForceCenter. Again, that's audibletrial.com/ForceCenter for your free audiobook.
Yes, absolutely. Check it out again. As Joseph said, at audibletrial.com/ForceCenter. All right, we're going to take a quick break. And on the other side, we got some, some intriguing questions this week. We'll see you then.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome. Like, what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, less awesome. Like, what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together.
J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hey, 4 Center friends, make sure you're keeping up to date on all the great content from Jennifer Landa. Whether it's YouTube, Instagram, or TikTok, you whippersnappers, 4 Center's own Jennifer Landa continues to bring you fun, informative, and insightful laughs and moments.
Also, Jennifer brings her experience and perspective as a Star Wars-loving mother to her DIY projects, blogs, and more. So be sure to head on over to JennyLanda.com, that's JennyLanda.com, for articles like how to make your own Darth Maul sneakers or 10 unique Star Wars baby gift ideas.
Follow Jen on Twitter and Instagram at Jennifer Landa and on TikTok as JenniferLanda1138. Welcome back to Force Center. We've taken care of the news. It's time for the questions. We love taking questions from all of you out there. Joseph, what do we got? You giggling fool.
Sorry, I just appreciated your mobster phrasing of we've taken care of the news. Now we're going to make these questions. Sleep with the fishes. It's going to be great.
Yeah.
Thank you for all the questions, everyone. Always, we always take 2 from Twitter and 2 from Patreon. So let's dive into those questions from Twitter from Mike Fink. Mike says, if you were able to make a Force Center version of the Calm app with Star Wars sleep stories, what classic Star Wars stories would you narrate to help one fall asleep?
I have the Calm app. I don't use it, but I'm a big ASMR guy. Like, I really, really use it for relaxation. I have for years, even before I knew what it was. So I'm unabashedly in that kind of weird corner of the YouTube world, which is a big corner, quite frankly. Once had someone who works at YouTube is like, look, if we didn't mess with the algorithms, the only videos anyone would get recommended would be ASMR videos. That's how big they are. So anyways, I would take the original Star Wars books I had as a kid, that the little audio books, turn the page when R2 chimes. And I would just have them read. And I guess you're saying the question is, would I narrate? You, Joseph, you and I both get comments every now and then that we have some soothing voices for some folks out there. Some people, maybe it's nails on chalkboard. But I think we could figure out a way to make this happen.
Oh, absolutely. That would be great to just calmly describe. Yeah. And now Kenobi and Anakin's battle on Mustafar. Lava is flowing everywhere.
Yeah. Turn the page when R2 chimes.
Turn the page when Anakin screams, liar. I think this is so great. It was so fun to think about because there's, Star Wars is an action story, so there's a lot of scenes of conflict. So I was trying to think, like, what are actual peaceful scenes to describe in Star Wars? So I was thinking it'd be fun to narrate the party at the Endor village, the party at Bright Tree Village at the end of Return of the Jedi. And now Lando is dancing with Wedge. That would be a fun one for me. How about for you? What else? Any particular stories you would narrate?
Yeah, I think you could retell Mandalorian, which is the lone wolf and cub story. And you could just really, we always say, hey, tome poems and you could really just, and then the Mudhorn came charging at him to defend her egg. Din Djarin, the Mandalorian. I think you could do that. It's a nursery rhyme type of story to me.
Yeah. Yeah. I often listen to like actual whole audiobooks, to fall asleep. My wife and I have been listening to ambient sounds kind of things. And I would be happy to not narrate, but to listen to just an ambient Razor Crest, where you kind of hear the ship going through space and you hear Mando kind of, grunting as he's trying to fix something. And you hear Grogu just, making random noises and, smacking his little lips while he eats something.
Love it. Love it.
That would be beautiful. Beautiful. This is a great idea. I'm sure it'll be coming soon to app stores near us all. Any other thoughts on Star Wars calm apps, Ken?
Other than I think we need it. This is Mike. You've touched on something that now we must manifest into existence.
Exactly. All right. We will move on to from Mike Fink to Swollen Lamppost. We've got some great names asking questions this week. Swollen Lamppost says, which character do you feel like has had the biggest impact on galactic history without being acknowledged for it? It's a good one. Who is not getting the glory they need, Ken?
Well, I saw Swollen Lamppost open for the Offspring in 97, so great gig. So I went a couple different directions in this with this question here. I went some that I just think, we talk about it. We know, we love these characters, but do they really get credit for the impact? And I'll say, General Jan Dodonna, I've always loved, he's got home base there in Star Wars. Mon Mothma. Now, look, I think we give credit. We talk about Mon Mothma a lot, but just general Star Wars fans, when you see the red haired lady in the white gown, you don't realize that in many ways she is the leader of the rebellion or sacrificed so much. I think Lando, I always talk about the trustworthy scoundrel and the trustworthy traitor almost, and you have to trust him, and Lando's acting for himself. And I think Lando is a great example. And then, the best friend of the galaxy, Chewbacca. I still run as some Star Wars fans who are loved dearly as friends who are like, Chewbacca doesn't have a personality. He's loyal. What? I'm like, Chewbacca, loyalty is everything in this story. And he impacts major characters. So I think that's my list. I have two others, but a little bit deeper thoughts on, but want to hear some of yours too.
Yeah, no, I think just plain old Chewie is great, right? Strip away the joke part of the Chewie should have got a medal. And just this is pounding on the table. Chewie deserves the medal, right? Yeah, and I would say loyal, also moral compass.
Yeah.
He roars his feelings and supports his friends even when maybe they're making dubious choices, but he lets them know. We did an episode of Star Wars Ranked a while back. And I honestly just took some of my answers from back then.
Nice.
One of them being Zev Seneska, who found Luke and Han on Hoth. Imagine Zev Seneska did not find Luke and Han. That does not go well for the galaxy.
Yeah.
Another one for me is a team up of Corday and Captain Typho, who came up with the decoy concern, the decoy plan at the beginning of Attack of the Clones. and did save Padme's life from that particular Zam Wessel attack. You know, things really don't work out well for the galaxy if Padme doesn't make it through Attack of the Clones.
Yes. Yes.
So those are a couple for me, but you got some deeper thoughts. I'm very curious about your deeper thoughts.
Well, I'm going to transition from that. I two characters on the other side of the coin. So I took this as a positive question from Swallow Lamppost of, but I went the other ways, but I'll start with Padme. And look, here's the thing. I think Force Center listeners appreciate Padme. Listening to you and I and Jennifer over the years, we appreciate Padme. I think still in the general public, general Star Wars fandom, I really want people to learn more about Padme. Yes, she for various reasons, both on screen and off, fades out of the story, and there's some great discussions to be had on how that character was handled in Revenge of the Sith. We have touched on those, and we'll have those discussions again, especially when E.K. Johnson's third book comes out. But without a doubt, you used the term moral compass, but you once said that about Padme, and I've never forgotten that, and especially as we watch the Clone Wars. This is a character that knew the way forward and stuck to it until she couldn't anymore for various reasons, which I can't wait to have E.K. Johnson answer that. So I think she's had one of the biggest impacts on the galaxy. Plus, you know, brought Luke and Leia into the world.
Yes. Yeah, no, I really agree with you highlighting Padme. I mean, in particular, I think I said that moral compass thing. It's really striking when you watch Attack of the Clones, totally watching it as Padme's movie and seeing how she is got her finger on the pulse of not only what is going on in the galaxy and what to be concerned about, but it's also kind of a better emotional guide in the way that she's responding to things than some of our Jedi heroes. And I think in general in culture, I think she has been, obviously there are many, many people who love Padme, us included, but I think the conflict around the prequels when they came out, the cultural debate about, you know, whether or not they're good movies, all that kind of thing. I think the character of Padme has suffered for that, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think even to this day, although I'm a huge, huge fan of Rise of Skywalker, I feel like that would have been a priority for me to find some way to honor Padme in the, resolution of this Skywalker saga. So I definitely agree with you, you know, Chewie finally got his medal on that MTV special and in Rise of Skywalker. I think, you know, Padme needs some more metaphorical medals.
Totally agree with that. Totally agree with that. And then the final one for me, really love this question, Swollen Lamppost, because it can be both fun and silly. But I went the other way. I put Tarkin. And the reason I said not for glory, but I think in story, especially in modern canon, the Tarkin initiative and Tarkin towns and Tarkin and his dark influence on the story. I think to many, he is the old guy who perished in the Death Star and the old guy who maybe bossed Vader around. He is, while Palpatine was the start of this and the Phantom Menace, and Palpatine was off ruling the galaxy, but really to me, he was like, great, I got that LLC set up. I'm going to go into the unknown regions and I'm going to, unlimited power is my goal. I have it. I want more. And I'm going to go into the mystic realm and the world between worlds. And that's part of what Palpatine wants to do. Yes, he's still the emperor and he's still running things. But I think it's people like Tarkin who are really oppressing the galaxy, who are really carrying out Palpatine's day-to-day desires. And for that instance, I would just love even more on the influence, negative influence on Tarkin, the man, the myth, and the Grand Moff in Star Wars.
The man, the myth, the terror. Yeah, no, I love what you're saying. Yeah, he is not just another underling, right? Like, we get to see that in that great Clone Wars arc where he is being rescued by the Jedi, and he and Anakin have that shared sort of brutal whatever it takes to win the war that in the Tarkin novel really emphasizes this, the culture of his home planet, that he is this figure, unlike Palpatine, who is, wants power in every way, everything from the just very blatant and political and, you know, corporeal, tangible power, but also, you know, weird mystical power. But Tarkin's this figure of his actual just worldview is might makes right. And, you know, I'm stronger. And if I'm stronger than you, then I should crush you and I should win everything always because I'm stronger and better. And that philosophy, I think, informs the Empire.
Yep. So, yeah, there you go. That's my answer.
Very, very good. My last one is not as as deep or as thoughtful as either of yours, but I always think about this person. There's this that great story of Rogue One that is the literal passing of hope that is represented by the Death Star plans, you know, from all of our main character heroes, you know, connecting everything that needs to be connected so the plans can be beamed to then the actual physical disc. And I always think of that rebel who is trying to get the door open as Vader comes and then realizes I can just hand it through the door. Like if that guy had been thinking, you know, selfishly and thinking more about getting himself through the door to safety, he might not have thought to like, but the plans are what matter in the big picture, you know? So that rebel always deserves some applause in my mind.
Great choice. Yeah, we might have to revisit that Star Wars ranked and do an updated version of some characters that have emerged since that moment. Great stuff.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Great questions from Twitter friends, and we'll have some more, of course. But now we're going to move on to Patreon. We got a bunch of great High Republic questions. So first from Brian Tiller. Brian says, I'm really loving these new books. Just finished Into the Dark and enjoyed it a lot. Okay, back to my inquiry. I am listening to the audiobooks. Martian Row is pronounced Martian Row by narrator Mark Thompson. Strangely enough, I have heard a few interviews with Charles Soule, and he pronounces the character as Markeon Row. This cracks me up, if not anything. Yeah. A brand new Star Wars character and already mispronounced by two very key people within the delivery of the content. So I go back to what I hope you may both find a fun discussion. How does this happen? Is it part of the fun of Star Wars, or is it done on purpose? Wink, wink. I think this is a great thing to discuss. Ken, I'll throw this out to start our conversation. Yeah. Yeah. I do wonder if this one is on purpose. You know, this is a creative team who knows Star Wars inside and out, and they continue, you know, not only the story inside the world of Star Wars and are super knowledgeable about those themes, but I think they're also kind of aware of real world things that have been a part of the legacy of Star Wars. In one of those High Republic interviews, Charles Soule, I made a deal of it. It's Markeon, you know, that to the point where it makes me feel like maybe this is a choice. Mm. What do you think? Do you think this one's a choice?
I love this theory here. Let's put on a tinfoil hat. Look, here's the thing. Mark Thompson's in a booth far away from all this. And, you know, he probably, how do I say it? And they decided on that day. That could be as simple as that. But yeah, it was clear. Charles Soule.
I think it's Soul, and I always say Soul because I have a friend.
You have a friend.
Soul. Yeah.
No, you have a friend.
I have a friend.
You have a friend. No, there's a lot of examples of that in life where you're like, well, but this person I know says that. It was a deal. We were all kind of paying attention. I remember kind of making a mental note. Oh, it's Markeon. I thought it was Martian. And then the book comes out. It is such a part of the tradition. You and I still will joke. You were just joking the other day on a Star Wars Ranked of boosh, bosh, boosh with Leia. Like, it depends on what playground you were that you grew up on. So I think they could be because he's, and we're going to talk a little bit about his character, his family story, maybe, or what we know. And there could be something going on there. So I'm going to back your conspiracy theory play here on this particular character.
Yeah, and I guess for me, if it was done on purpose, I think it would be being done out of a sense of fun and a sense of tradition.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
This isn't a sort of a tinfoil hat theory in that, like, we've caught him at something. It's not the way I feel about it at all. Whether it was done on purpose or not, I think it's great. Kind of big picture about this Star Wars tradition of different pronunciations. You know, I think it's kind of important. You know, Star Wars is a fantasy world, but there's always been a lot of little realistic world building details. And this always seemed to be an element that Lucas really encouraged. Like, that makes it feel like the kind of realism that Lucas wants of, you know, in the real world, people say people's names different ways. Yeah. I think it really supports that from a certain point of view theme of Star Wars. Mm. And then also in kind of the bigger picture, and maybe to me, some of the reason that Lucas encourages it. You know, we also joke sometimes about in Rebels, Ian McDiarmid saying Ahsoka, you know.
Yes.
And obviously, people who know the name Ahsoka quite well were in that recording session. That, to me, there's no way that was a mistake of whoops.
Yeah.
That was allowed.
Yeah.
You know, it, by Filoni, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Could be wrong. I'm not in the recording studio. But to me, I think it is, there's a spirit to it for me that a big idea in Star Wars is, you know, let's not fall into the Sith trap of rigidity, right? Let's embrace uncertainty, mystery, variety. Let's be open to the idea that we're hearing things from different characters' perspectives. And, you know, as much as I love looking up the one true answer, mm-hmm. You know, and saying it correctly, sometimes there isn't one correct answer. Mm. And that's an important thing to embrace while also enjoying canon and being a canon junkie. Yeah. This is one of those things that keeps it from being like, you know, this is a living, breathing universe, and it's good to embrace that in this way.
I mean, you're making me feel good for, I still say Sio Bibble, and Alec Backus at Black Series Rebels always says Sio, and we had a little friendly debate about it. So we actually reached out to Matt Martin in the store group, and he said, I think it's Sio. I was like, I refuse to accept it. It's Sio Bibble, because I said that my whole life.
Yeah, it's Sio Bibble to me. I mean, I'll say Sio, you know. Yeah.
And then Chando Donna, the plans we got from Princess Leia. Well, that ain't right. But then you got George saying Leia brings the plans to Han, and that's why.
Leia says Han for a lot of Empire Strikes Back.
Yes.
You know, yeah. And I think that's the thing that people just kind of block out, because, like, it's Han. We all know that.
We know it's Han.
Leia can't call him Han, but she does.
Yeah, look, jumping over to the Song of Ice and Fire, Game of Thrones, D.B. Weiss, one of the co-creators of the Game of Thrones show, will say Cersei. George R. Martin says Cersei Lannister. Every character on the show says Cersei, except for occasionally Tyrion will say Cersei. And after a while, you just got to go, you know, it's whatever you're feeling.
Yeah. And maybe they're building to a story thing where it will be a pivotal moment where Markeon Rowe is like, it's Markeon, damn it.
Yeah. So great stuff. And it's truly part of the fun Star Wars universe.
It really is. It really is. So I will take any tinfoil hat off and get down to this next question from patron on Patreon. This is actually a double question. I thought both of them were great. We don't always do that, but since they're all kind of related to the same High Republic discussion points, we're going to tackle both questions. So here we go. Sean Pisano says, just finished Light of the Jedi. I know, I am behind. We relate. We are often behind, Sean. Sean continues, I love the book, and while I had tons of thoughts about the future of the High Republic, I did have two questions that seemed to stick with me. The first, I know in your review that you mentioned the real-world parallels in Light of Jedi to our current times with the pandemic, but I didn't hear much mentioned about one specific situation in the book and how it relates to the real world. I couldn't help but to continually think about the specific decision of Chancellor Sao. So,
yep,
damn it, Ken. Yep. How do I say my own name?
Scrimshie.
Yeah, that's the way my teachers said it. They thought there was an H in there always. Mm-hmm. Anyway, back to Sean's question. I couldn't help but to continually think about the specific decision of Chancellor So to shut down the hyperspace lanes and how this is a very similar situation that our U.S. governors are in. The restrictions are in place to ensure safety, but there's also an effect on commerce and the economy. I just thought it was extremely interesting how Sol really highlighted the difficulty in making those tough decisions and how So had to find the right balance in this situation. Curious of your thoughts.
Yeah,
this was definitely one of the things that, you know, made it feel like it was speaking to some of the events in our real world. We're going to dive into this. We're going to talk Star Wars, obviously. But, you know, there is the possibility, since this is what Sean is asking, that we'll tip into a little bit of a real world opinion as well, which, you know, we try to be not do too much. But, you know, that is, to me, the nature of art. It does speak to the real world. And every once in a while, that means we dance into real world stuff as well. So what do you think, Ken? What are your thoughts on this?
Oh, man, this is an easy one. No, I love the complications of this. And that's one of the parts of the book I did love. And yeah, if we didn't go too deep into it, it's only because, number one, that book is so full of wonderful ideas. But you can't help but read that. And they did say, you know, remember some of the Light of the Jedi stuff and the High Republic stuff got push back just enough, not enough where I felt they were like, hey, let's layer in all this stuff. But Sola said, like, no, there's some 2020 in this book. And whether or not that's specific, I would love, if there's interviews out there, I'd love to see it. If not, maybe I'd love to get Sol's details, thoughts on it, if he wants to share it. It is complicated, and it should be complicated. It is hard, and I don't have this experience. I have other experiences, and I talk about the old job. I was a director of public safety for 12 of 17 years in the business, and Joseph, I'm putting a timer on myself to not tell. But I, and a lot of times I get defended. Well, I used to never tell people what that job was, why I had it, and it's because, you know, stereotypes and the job has a stupid side to it, and you did security at a mall. Did you deal with shoplifting at Claire's? It's like, no, I didn't. I dealt with organized retail crime, stealing $20,000 at a time. But also I've handled several mass evacuations, and you have to, this balance. There was an incident at Third and Fairfax. I was over at the Grove Farmers Market for 3.5 years as a director over there. A sheriff deputy comes running on property, says, grabs one of my officers, says, you need to get everyone out of here. There's a hostage situation on this bus parked right here in 3rd and Fairfax, which is 5 o'clock on a Friday. And we think there's a bomb on the bus. I mean, it sounds like a movie. And so we'd evacuate. And the only information you can tell people is get out of here. That's the only thing you can tell them. Get out of here for your safety, please. And you try to be nice about it, and you're going to get a bevy of complaints because people are at a bar, drinking wine. They've got a concert going on the patio, and no one wants to go. And the other flip side of all the bomb threats I've handled, and there was one particular one on a Friday night where we found a device, or we had a bomb dog on staff as our security department. It didn't hit on the device, but it was a suspicious device we'd never seen before. Bomb squad comes out. Police captain turns to me and says, we recommend that you evacuate everyone right now. You have to make that call. Because, you know, liability reasons, all these kind of red tape things. So, you know, you got, and it's not just the safety of the people. I got a movie theater with 10 screens, 100 yards from this location of this device. I've also got, you know, families running their, you know, it's shutting down Victoria's Secret isn't a concern for me. They're going to be okay. But shutting down the Jordanian family I've known for 5-6 years, whose entire family runs 2 carts and that's their life savings, a Friday night business is, you know, it pops in your brain. Mm-hmm. And I think to boil it all down, Joseph, we evacuated every time because you want to do something for the good of the people. However, I think some of the hope is if we all come together, what does Chancellor So say? You know, we are all us, or
we are all the Republic.
We are all the Republic. Your hope is, hey, we have to do something. And it's going to affect everybody. If we all come together on this, maybe what we have to do is not as long of a thing, right? And it won't affect us as much if we all come together for one common good. And that's where it breaks down for me, because then you go to an individual and say, hey, we need you to leave. And they're like, no, I'm drinking my wine and listening to a concert. F you. And that's where it breaks down for me, where it's a tough decision. And I'm a little heartbroken by sometimes as individuals and a lack of not just compassion, but can we work together? And it's complicated. There's a big business dispute in Burbank that's getting news, national headlines. Of a bar that refuses to shut down, and the owner will say, well, look, I'm going to lose my life savings anyways. I'm going out without a bang, which I understand and sympathize. But also, they're holding literal super spreader parties and broadcasting it. And it's been this focal point of this battle in Burbank where you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. And a leader has to make a decision that they feel in the time is with the information they have that they can't necessarily share. My timer ran up. God.
Well, look, I'll give you some more time. I mean,
no. And so all that to say, I don't want it. It shouldn't be easy. And some of the problems are I show up and I have a radio and a security team. And I say, you need to shut down and leave. I'm hoping you trust me. And then because of a lot of different factors, you don't trust me, not me, but you don't trust the position I'm in. And I understand that, and I understand where that comes from. And I understand in the Star Wars story, Chancellor So saying, hey, I'm a politician, I'm a leader, and I'm up here, and you probably think I'm in an ivory tower, and chances are I probably live in an ivory tower because that's probably where the chancellor stays. And I'm asking you to not take your little freighter with your life savings and hopes to get to the place you need to go. And I understand that you don't trust me. And that's just the politics of politics, I guess. And it shouldn't be easy. And reading this, and Sean asked this question, reading this book, that's why I love this book so much, is it made me think and it made me sympathize all sides in, and wow, this is tough, and shutting down the hyperspace lanes, but shutting down planets and business and survival. We're seeing it in the other stories, stranded and into the dark. They're stranded. They can't leave. And then all of a sudden they can leave, and it's complicated. And I think it's okay to say it's complicated.
Yeah, no, you said a bunch of great things. I'm glad that you went beyond your timer.
ding, 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 ding.
Yeah. Yeah, I have never been a security guard, but I had to close Kinko's twice in Minneapolis. He's at the base of the IDS Center, you know, one of the most prominent buildings in Minneapolis.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I literally had to close it because Kinko's at that time closed so rarely. It was like a guarded ancient secret, physically, literally how to close the building, you know. And that is always a weird choice to say. We're so used to just commerce moving forward as it is, to people's normal lives moving forward how it is, that even if you're doing it out of the best reasons for the absolute safety, to absolutely make sure that nobody immediately gets hurt, there's still that, like, how dare we disrupt life as it goes on. All totally understandable. All, I think, all great things to be wrestling with in real life. And I loved the way the book wrestled with it.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, the way the book wrestled with it, I think, is the way that I want to see it wrestled with in real life. And I think you said a bunch of important things, that this book is about this idea of we are all the Republic.
Yeah.
Chancellor So is trying to get people on board with that idea. And a part of that idea means we are all the Republic when things are going great, and we are all the Republic when things are going bad.
Yeah.
And I'm not selling to you that I have all of the answers and everything will always be great. I'm selling you the idea that we should help each other through difficult times.
Mm.
And that includes making difficult decisions together with some amount of trust that we're all working together to make things the best for everyone, that let's get through this crisis with a we perspective rather than an us against them perspective. And I feel like in the book, Chancellor So was trying to come at it from that perspective of that.
Yeah.
Okay. I can't open things up before I am sure that that won't cause imminent death, because of course, as a leader, I have to prevent imminent death. Imminent death is also not great for the economy, right? I mean, what's going to do to those lanes if there's just constant explosions and people don't ever trust hyperspace again?
Yep.
But then she is also responding to the, like, yeah, we're trying to expand to the outer rim right now. We're trying to, get these people to trust that we're there to help them. If we can't, if they're cut off from supplies and food, that's not going to be good either. So we've got all these problems. They're all tied together. They're all important. So let's find a way to kind of move forward and balance it.
Yeah.
And then what I really appreciated about the book, and this is absolutely interpretation and people can disagree with me, that the figures that are pushing to reopen the lanes as fast as possible are Senator Isit Noor of Sereno and the Secretary of Transportation of the Republic, Jeffo Lorelia, and he is a Moon. Mm. Those characters are both from wealthy societies. Those are characters that you can potentially read in Star Wars as figures who are more concerned about their wealth.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that to me is an important part of the decision. And I think that's what So is balancing in her conversations with them, of like your great real world example of, that Jordanian family, that is the concern. Apple losing a few bucks is not a concern, you know? And I think that she is, you know, these little moments of these discussions of like, yes, of course the economy needs to keep going and we need to get to supplies to the outer rim. Yeah. And I'm of course going to listen to Isit Noor and Jeffo Lorelia, but I'm also going to double check, are they coming at this from a me, not we perspective? Are they coming at from this is affecting our bottom line and we want our money.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And that, I think that has been, you know, people can advocate for the same things for different motivations. And that can be really difficult. If you're advocating for, we need to find a balance to keep people safe from immediate danger while also opening up the economy to keep people safe from long-term harm.
Yeah.
Great. If you're advocating for, I make money from transit and you're not moving fast enough, that is not as important.
Yeah. Yeah. No, no.
And that's a Star Wars opinion and a real world opinion, which I respect that people have a right to disagree with.
Yeah. Well, look, and I'm not, look, if the captain of the space freighter who is saying, look, you shutting down the hyperlanes causes me to lose my, not just my job, but like my life savings, I don't think that person's being selfish inherently.
Not in the slightest.
Yeah, not in the slightest.
And I think, like, you know, what the book is celebrating is like, well, the Republic's working well now. So the way they would handle that is, here's some money.
Right.
Not risk your life in hyperspace lanes that we don't know are safe.
Exactly. And that's what I think the book did such a good job, because it could just put yourself in Chancellor So's spot, you know? Like, so you're telling that space freighter captain, like, totally. But if we don't do this, a million people on a starship might die, or 2 billion on a planet might die, because the pieces of that starship go into the planet. And then they're going to come back with, well, there's no guarantee that that's going to happen. Yes, you're right. But if it happens, and so there goes. And I think the book just really, really did make it so wonderfully real world that you want to stop and think about it and analyze all sides. And, you know, that's a tough spot to be in.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think for me, a final thing, I think what I really liked about it is it had this sense of realism that Chancellor So knew that, okay, well, my getting buy-in on this argument that we are all the Republic, you know, it is going to be affected by how I handle this. That's just a political reality. So I do need to be aware of that. But there was also just there was no us or them about it from her perspective, right? These are both problems. There is the threat of immediate death if the hyperspace lanes are still full of debris. So need to handle that. And yes, absolutely. We need to get supplies. We need to help people financially. These are all problems. The only question is, how do we best address them? There's no, it's not one or the other for her, you know? And I think that's a really healthy and you know, they're doing so much work for both the Jedi and the Republic to show an idea of how do things work when everything's flowing, you know?
Yeah, which is why, again, I've just been blown away by this High Republic series of just taking some high whiz-bang Star Wars adventure and then just same with like the prequels, just really digging into some real world stuff. It's part of when Star Wars really clicks for me. And that's why I love that book. Light of Jedi deserves a reread.
Yeah, absolutely. Great question, Sean. And Sean has a second part of his question that is diving into the Star Wars lore of it all. Second, there were several allusions to Markion Rowe's family history. What do you think the Jedi did to have such a negative effect on his family? Do you think his lineage could be tied to Sith from centuries past? Where do you go with this, Ken? We had that mysterious purple object in Markion Rowe ruminating on. He knows what the Jedi are all about. How did you feel about that?
So in reading it and in those moments, I took it a little bit more, I would say similar to Cassian Andor. It's not, but just that idea of, yeah, I just trust the Jedi because I was maybe on the other side of them. and other people have a different point of view of them than I do. I took it as that, but I'm definitely intrigued of some lineage being tied to dark side users or Sith. And I'm not in a huge race to get the Sith, not the dark side, but the Sith directly involved with the High Republic era. I think there could be something there. I love this idea, but I do kind of overall go onto this, like the Jedi, whether intentional or not, done something bad to the Rowe family.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's very much a possibility that yes, his family was caught up in, being the sort of, collateral damage of some kind in an act that was otherwise, you know, righteous from the Jedi perspective. I think that's always an interesting story. This is just kind of nerdy headcanon, maybe beyond headcanon to what I would like to see happen. They have mentioned in the High Republic in various books a couple times the times of the Jedi Sith Wars, almost in the same way that there was a bunch of little drops of mentions of the High Republic and other Star Wars storytelling before it was even revealed. Mm-hmm. So there's a part of me, especially since there's some that you know, purple object seems to be a part of that family history.
Yeah.
That I think it would be a really cool story if Ro's family was caught up in the Jedi Sith Wars somehow.
Mm.
And, you know, maybe they come from a place that was ravaged because the Jedi and the Sith brought their war to their planet. And that purple object isn't, maybe it's Jedi, maybe it's Sith, maybe it's just some sort of weapon oracle of neutral force power left over from the war. I think that would be interesting.
Marcion Ro is absolutely one of my favorite characters in the High Republic. There's just something about him that I'm not rooting for. I want to find out more.
Yeah. And I think one of the things that Light of the Jedi did in such a satisfying way is really tell the story that Sean was asking about of this initial incident and all of its, from all these points of view, from individual Jedi to, you know, individual people just trying to make their way through the galaxy to these big political questions. But then it was also just this great, you know, genre adventure seal cliffhanger of, oh, what's the spooky thing that Marcion Ro, and why does he hate the Jedi? We'll find out in the next chapter.
It's
just a really great balance.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Excellent. Great questions from Sean, Brian, Swollen, and Mike. Thank you all for the really fun questions. That's it for the cues, Ken.
I should point out, in both incidents I mentioned, no actual bomb was there, though there was a hostage situation on the bus. The other one was a sprinkler part that got dug up and no one had seen before in their lives.
Well, I'm sorry. I am going to ask, do you regret it?
No, because, we had a bomb dog, we sniffed on it, nothing, no hit, great, but hey, we got a good due diligence. Bomb squad comes out, yeah, we don't, can you identify this device? No, we cannot. We even asked the groundskeeping crew, no, because it was found in shrubbery. No one can identify. All right, the robot comes out. I've been involved with the LAPD bomb squad robot about 10 times in my life. The little robot comes out, Johnny Five is alive, they do the whole thing, they blow it up. We evacuate all of the mall on a Friday night. We're 100 yards from the movie theater. It's on a Friday night, 7 p.m. All of it. In the middle of it, kids launch firecrackers down the half the block. In the middle of this, we all thought we died. Never seen me and 30 officers duck and hit the asphalt as fast. Boom, and it was a crazy night. They blow it up. We break it up, and it was a deep, like PVC pipe of this sprinkler underground, and just, like, it sounds like what anyone could have said that, but it was a PVC pipe with wires coming out of each side with a little device in the middle of it. It couldn't have been, so yeah, all that started. But at the end of it, you drive home and you're like, you know what, but it also could have been what it was, you know, and you just don't know. You make the gut decision and you stick with it,
and your first responsibility is keep people safe, right?
Yes. I had you know, I know you want to watch the latest superhero spaceman movie, but I'm going to need you to go.
Yeah.
It's tough. And the question always comes back, well, why? I really can't tell you because you're not going to process that information properly and you're going to create more panic. Need you to go.
Yes. I can see how this would have been really, really challenging.
Yeah. So, I'm glad.
I am a security guard who will not give you information, but please leave your screening of Thor 2 The Dark World.
Yes. And this is why I'm glad my full-time job now is talking about Star Wars and silly things on the internet.
Star Wars and silly things. We talked about a lot of silly things. We talked about the way Star Wars handles some really big, difficult questions in the galaxy far, far away. Thank you all for all those great questions.
Indeed. And you can send us your questions. We've got a pinned tweet. We're on Twitter at Force Center Pod. We update that pinned tweet every now and then to get more new questions. We're on Instagram and YouTube as well. Facebook page is Force Center Podcast. Podcasts available on several spots, including Anchor, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, and now Amazon Music. And don't forget Spotify. Some cool, perhaps maybe even new things coming down with Spotify podcasts and everything. Stay tuned for things going on with them. Merch is at tpublic.com/user/ForceCenter. Patreon.com/ForceCenter is where you can support us directly. In fact, during this show, we actually got a new Patreon supporter. So shout out to Tyler. Tyler just became a Patreon supporter as we're recording. So look at that. You can follow me at KatNapsok or go to KatNapsok.com. One of the charities highlighting, something we highlighted over Good People Association and We want to talk about the website. For me, I'm nominating StopAAPIHate.org, which is an organization that's raising awareness and having resources and also taking donations to stop Asian hate. The incident this past week highlighted the overall situation with violence against Asian people and Pacific Islanders here. That's something we over at Good People donated to, and I'm highlighting it here now.
And I will absolutely second that. I think that is a very, very important, and it's great that you highlighted that, Ken.
Thank you, sir. And you, sir, where can I find you?
Yeah, you can find me Twitter and Instagram at Joseph Scrimshaw, and you can check out all of my other comedy adventures, comedy albums, my other podcast, Obsessed, links to the television show Tigtone, which you can now watch on HBO Max streaming if you get a few seconds in between your multiple viewings of the Snyder Cut of Justice League, which I'm looking forward to watching myself. You can check out Tigtone. That's it for me on my website, josephscrimshaw.com.
That is it for Joseph, me, and Marcion Rowe, who was probably friends with C.O. Sio Bibble. Thank you all for your questions, and thank you all for listening. We'll see you next time here on Foresight.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.